Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the most important and largest segment of society. To those of you who have come to realize that the world's political, economic, academic, media, institutions, as well as even your military, is corrupt. And you recognize that these institutions are counterproductive and that they cannot be fixed. Our program will explore the hope there is still for all of us, even though there is no solution. There will be no salvation based upon government or religion. Our phone number, if you would like to participate in the discussion anytime over the next 2 hours, is 877-300-7645. This is an interesting story. It's picked up by Reuters. It says U.S. consumer spending recorded its biggest decline since late 2009. This was during December, with households appearing to save extra cash from cheaper gasoline, which could support future consumption. Oh boy, let's try to polish this less than beautiful object. You know, what's so interesting here is that the president in his State of the Union address took full credit for having fixed the economy. Oh boy, it's over now. We're on the mend. I am responsible. I am your savior. And then he proposed a plan that would be certain to do exactly what the results here show, the same plan that he has implemented in the past, which is, let's tax people more. Let's make certain that we punish success and we reward failure. That is what we ought to do. That's middle-class economics, is to rob from those who are productive so we can give indulgences and receive votes from those who are dependent. And the numbers for the fourth quarter showed that overall growth was about half of what it had appeared to have been in the third quarter. And that the numbers were far less rosy than that because, well, you see, the business sector, the part of the economy that the Obaminator has attacked ruthlessly since his inception. After all, he is a communist. The business sector was extraordinarily depressed. America, during the Obaminator's term, has gone from being the world's leading manufacturer to not only second place, but falling very rapidly. Our economy is losing pace to much of the world. And the engine for our economy, the only thing that is actually productive in America, is business. And that's just the truth. It is business that generates all the revenues that government squanders. If you like your Social Security, you get it from business. If you like your Medicare, you get it from business. If you like your defense, it's paid for by business. Business is the productive aspect of America that has been taxed into oblivion with the highest corporate tax rates of any country in the world. Of course, middle-class economics by the Obaminator is to tax it all the more and to make certain that we raise the tax rates up into the high 20s for long-term capital gains, which is the means that anybody with half a brain, with any understanding of economics, has used throughout the last century to stimulate economic investment in the private sector. Well, now it appears, in fact, it doesn't appear, it is fact, that rather than everything being peachy keen, rosy, as I have discovered and I have shared with you over and over again during the Obaminator's administration, every time he speaks positively about the economy, every time his administration shares a story that says, oh, we're on the mend, all you have to do is wait a few days and the truth comes out and it's not so. Well, the U.S. economy, and this is on the consumer side, which represents two-thirds of the economy, we already know that in the fourth quarter, business economic activity declined, and it was a huge decline. And we know that deficit of trade increased, and it was a huge increase. But now U.S. consumer spending during December, which is usually the single biggest month for consumer spending, declined. And that decline, it wasn't that that the rate of growth was mitigated. No, it actually declined. And so everything about this man's economic malaise continues to be catastrophic. It was the biggest decline in consumer spending, representing two-thirds of the U.S. economy, since December of 2009. The Commerce Department said on Monday that consumer spending, which accounts, as it says, two-thirds of the U.S. economic activity, which tells you a lot about America. When you have two-thirds of U.S. economic activity just being consumers buying things, shampoos and gasoline for their cars, expendables, nothing that's, this is not about investments, this is not about business, it's about making things, this is simply about consumption. Tells you a lot about the economy, particularly when you realize that the government spending now represents between 25% and 30% of gross domestic product. That makes business in the range of 8%, maybe 7%. Yes, the engine of any economy is its production. And the productive aspect of America has been annihilated. Well, it fell by 0.3% after a half a percent gain in November. That's nearly a 1% change one month to another. It was the largest drop since September of 2009 and reflected big declines in spending on both durable and non-durable goods. When adjusted for inflation, consumer spending was the weakest since April. Prices for longer-dated U.S. government debt, therefore, rose on the data because it tells you that the U.S. economy is in shambles, while the dollar fell against most all international currencies. Reuters is also reporting that America's second-largest company, world's largest oil company, ExxonMobil Corporation, announced that its quarterly profit fell 21%. Now, you'd think that the windfall profit taxes would be removed. You would think that we would say, yeah, maybe we have a problem here. Fell 21%. Now, the problem here is that while I don't have any affinity for ExxonMobil, I don't have any affinity for Chevron. What I have an affinity for is America becoming energy independent because our deficit of trade is devastating this country. It's worse than our federal debt in terms of its long-term consequence. And second, we buy a disproportionate amount of our oil from those who seek to kill us. That's not smart. And so when the profits fall this appreciably by companies who are the most prone and the most best equipped to extract and distribute, refine energy, well, we have a problem. And part of this is that corporate taxes are too high. Part of this is that the regulations are too severe. And part of it is that because of our mishandling of the Iraq invasion and the consequence, which is giving Iraq to Iran, the Saudi Arabians, who are afraid to go to war with Iran in the military sense, even though they own billions, hundreds of billions of dollars worth of U.S. weaponry. They're going to war with Iran via oil. Now, normally, driving down the price of oil would be a good thing, except when you drive down the price of oil, the incentive to invest in alternative sources of energy and domestic sources of energy dry up. So this is a consequence of the stupidity of George W. Bush's invasion of Iraq. Global oil markets are oversupplied at a time when demand is waning. Now, why would demand be waning? Because the world economy is nothing now but a shell game. Even Europe is into a $4 trillion quantitative easing scenario. The United States, of course, has played this game over and over again to a level that no one even knows, because the Federal Reserve doesn't even publish M3, which is the overall amount of currency that it has created. And all quantitative easing is that the Federal Reserve creates the illusion of more money and uses this illusion of money, mythical money, if you will, to buy bonds, because no one in their right mind would buy a U.S. savings bond. And they're not savings bonds, they're spending bonds to fund the U.S. deficit. Exxon said that it was going to use more than $1 billion that it had in cash reserves to buy its own stock back. It is a better investment to buy its own stock than it is to invest in more production. The Obaminator, President Barack Obama, said today that America is ready for a $4 trillion budget. The fiscal budget for 2016 that he is proposing is $4 trillion. Ah, and there is lots and lots of spending. More and more spending. Yes, this $4 trillion budget features all sorts of spending, all of which will be funded by higher taxes on corporations and the most productive Americans. Wealth redistribution from each and to each. It's communism, folks. So I know it sounds extreme, I'm sure, to most people there is, when I say that Barack Hussein Obama is a communist. I'm certain that sounds like, oh yeah, it's just hyperbole. But it isn't. His State of the Union speech, when he first said he was going to tackle the U.S. economy, he equated the U.S. economy to the U.S. military. And he talked about the sacrifice of those who were able to make it and the needs of those who were unable to care for themselves. And he talked about the command and control nature of the U.S. military and how it was guided. He was talking in very real terms about communism. That's how communism works. It is from each according to their ability, to each according to their need. It's wealth redistribution. Now, the problem is, while the Greeks just voted overwhelmingly for wealth redistribution, and while in Spain they're having large protests and marches for the same, they say an end to austerity. Well, what they're really saying is, I want an overindulgent pension. I want the government to take care of my health care. I want the government to take care of me because I'm too damn lazy to do it myself. Now, I understand that there are people who are in need, and I would much prefer a charity-based system where we returned to providing community housing, shelters, community soup kitchens, food, and educational opportunities for those who are willing to make a contribution and work. But The fact is that the overall wealth distribution plan that is in the schemes known as Social Security, Medicare, welfare, they don't work. They have never worked. They will never work. Because what it does is destroys the incentive to work. And that's the thing that a guy like the Obaminator, who has never had an honest job in his life, he's never worked in a business for a business, much less started a business and made payroll. He has no concept of what it takes to actually build a business, to create something of value. And as a result, we find ourselves in a situation now where the government continues to grow out of control. And that its growth is all based on providing indulgences for those who do not work, who are not productive, by taking money from those who are productive. And when you do that, what you find is that ultimately the economy collapses. Wealth redistribution has never and will never create wealth. It destroys the source of wealth, which is work. Always been the case, will always be the case. It's the biggest problem with democracy. It's why our founding fathers hated democracy. When people get to vote for candidates who promise that they will take from the minority who are productive and give to them the majority who are not, then you constantly burden the productive, and eventually you cause them no longer to have any incentive. That's why America is no longer the world's leading manufacturer. That's why the manufacturing sector of America is declining at such a rapid rate. That's why consumer spending represents the preponderance of the U.S. economy, followed by the government. We don't make anything because we don't work. That is our problem. And all the Obaminator wants to do is to make it worse. You know, it's interesting that Ronald Reagan thought he had this great idea that if we built America's military to the point where, for example, our Navy had 600 ships, not that we could even use 50 ships, but he wanted 600. And if we continue to build our nuclear forces, not that we could use one nuclear warhead, much less tens of thousands, that we would cause the Soviet Union to fail because they would have to or be incentivized to build their military, and they could not afford to do so, and they would go bankrupt. That was kind of his scheme. But the problem was it liberated the Soviet Union, Russia, from communism, and it brought America into communism. It backfired. It killed us, not them. We'll be back in a moment. It's interesting when you listen to or read the reports on the supposed death of the Japanese journalist Sakato. Every news feed that I considered on this says the online video Saturday appears to show, purports to show, the Islamic State executing a Japanese journalist. The media, I think, has finally come to realize that this is a hoax. Now, I'm not saying that these men are still alive. And they may well be dead. I don't know. I tell you the truth, I don't really even care. And I know that sounds harsh, but the fact is that one of these guys was a journalist, and you're going to be a journalist covering a war zone like Syria, where you have fighting between two Islamic regimes, Shia and Sunni. And you're not fully appraised on why that is stupid to put yourself in that position. Because there's nothing you can gain. I mean, there's literally nothing you're, you know, what are you going to do? Take some pictures that show buildings that are collapsed? What are you going to do? You're going to interview people and you think you're going to gain something? If you want to know what's happening there, cover the history of how we got into this mess, which is the U.S. invasion of Iraq. Cover the reason that the Muslims are behaving so badly. Read Prophet of Doom. It's free for you online, prophetofdoom.net. Going over there is absolutely a waste of time. And so one of these two Japanese individuals went there because they're enthralled with war. Another went there because they wanted to take pictures and write stories. So, you know, if they're dead, it's stupid judgment. You know, if you just can't fix stupidity. People ought to be allowed to be stupid. I mean, look at all the religious and political malfeasance we have in the world, and people are still religious and political. So people ought to be free to be as stupid as they wish to be, but they ought to pay the consequence for their stupidity. And so here we find ourselves with the Islamic State showing videos that are wholly unlike their actual behavior. And on their actual behavior, they'll cut off the heads of 20, 30 people and scream Allahu Akbar and then post their heads on fence posts. But when they're dealing with captive Westerners, they won't even show the knife touch the throat. And so and there's a lot of photo editing that take place in their videos. So the media has finally said, you know, this purports to show. They're no longer going to go down the same road that the Obama administration used to justify yet another war. CNN is reporting that two Islamic fighters, and these are now purported Islamic fighters because the Islamic State, you know, they don't wear uniforms in the Islamic State. There's not a membership badge that says, I am a card-carrying member of the Islamic State. They're just Muslims. Jihadi Muslims. But anyway, CNN is saying that two purported Islamic State fighters interviewed for a news agency working in Islamic State-held territory have given the same reason for their jihadists retreating from the Syrian city of Kobani. Now, this was carried by every news agency, and no one seemed to be able to put the pieces together. And that was the constant pummeling by coalition forces. So what? The U.S. Department of Defense, the Obama administration, we've got them on the run. We've liberated Kobani. Our constant pummeling of them by their own admission has driven them from the city. Oh, we are so stupid. Yeah, it's buried in the story as to what's happened. Recently, this is a quote, we have withdrawn from Ain al-Islam, that is the Islamic State's name for Kobani, bit by bit, because of the airstrikes and the deaths of a number of our brothers, said one of the two fighters, his face covered apart from his eyes. He points to the scene of destruction behind him, but vows that the Islamic State will persist, and that is our message to Obama. The second fighter interviewed by Amak stood near a road sign reading Ain al-Islam. That's their new name, again, for Kobani. He said that the Islamic State forces had raided the city and 360 villages surrounding Kobani, from which the people ran away like rats. Oh, well, now we have half the answer. There are two reasons that the Islamic State is no longer Kobani. Now, remember, for those of you who were listening to this program 4 or 5 months ago when the Islamic State first attacked the region along the Turkish border and the Kurdish town of Kobani, what I told you at the time was this town means nothing to the Islamic State. It isn't strategic to them at all. The Islamic State does not want to occupy non-Sunni Arab Muslim towns. In a Sunni Arab Muslim town, they find enormous support. Easy for them to set up shop. Because that's who they are. But they have no incentive whatsoever to occupy a Kurdish town. Even though the Kurds are Sunni Muslims, the Kurds want their own independent state. And so the Kurds have this terrorist organization called the Peshmerga, which means to embrace death. And the cost and overall management and lives and resources of trying to occupy an area that has people who are hostile to them is of no value to them. And plus, Kobani is on the periphery of the Islamic State territory. So I told everyone who would listen, they're not here because they want to occupy. They're not trying to add Kobani to their realm. No, they were there to rob it. There was weapons there. There was gold there. There were products in the shops there. And so when the Islamic State went in, the people fled, and they used the Islamic State's parlance like rats, and they robbed it. There's nothing left to rob. It was kind of like Muhammad finally saying, you know, I'm going to leave these areas because, well, I've stolen everything worth stealing. That's half of it. There is another half, and the other half is far more sinister. And I didn't see a single news agency make a point of this. This is how the article reads. But the reason behind the withdrawal from the city, he said, is that we no longer had places to hold there. We were inside Ain al-Islam, and we occupied more than 70% of the area. But the airstrikes did not leave any building standing. The American airstrikes destroyed everything. Let that sink in, folks. The administration, the Department of Defense will gloat about, and even the media trumpeting their cause, gloating about how they forced the Islamic State out of Kobani. They're on their heels. They're in full retreat. Well, actually, they robbed everything that there was to steal. And America destroyed the rest. There's nothing left. What good is it to drive a group of civilian jihadists out of a city if you're going to completely destroy the city? There's nothing left. The Islamic State said, there's no buildings left to hang out in. There is nothing left to hold. It's a heap of rubble. And America did that. What good is there in such destruction? That's your military. Those are your tax dollars at work, America. Nicely done. The horror of the airstrikes was apparent. I swear by Allah, this says God, but no, he was swearing by Allah. I swear by Allah, their planes did not leave the air day and night. They did airstrikes all day and all night. They targeted everything. You know, you can't target everything. You can destroy everything. You can target specific command and control facilities. But based upon all that is known about Kobani and the pictures that I have seen of Kobani, everything was destroyed, which means we didn't target. We just carpet bombed the place. They even attacked motorcycles. They left not a single building standing. Congratulations, America. You are the most destructive nation on earth. You should be so proud of yourself. America used to be the most productive nation. Now, it is no longer that, but it is most certainly the most destructive. Tens of thousands of people, and I mentioned this briefly earlier, have massed in central Madrid for a rally organized by radical Spanish leftists. The March for Change is one of the party's first outdoor mass rallies as it looks to build on the recent victory of its close allies, Syriza in Greece. It is a communist organization. It's not a radical organization. And they're not marching for change. It is the onslaught of socialism, communism, a overindulgent, overexpensive central government controlling everyone's lives, redistributing money, that has caused the Spanish economy to crumble. And so while they have deluded themselves with their religion of socialist secular humanism into believing that the solution is more government spending, more indulgences, more entitlements, more debt, the fact is, it's those very policies that have got them into this problem. It was like the Abominator saying, change we can believe in. No, the fact is, he didn't change anything. He just accelerated the very policies that had already destroyed the nation. We're witnessing that now in Spain. Yes, the March for Change is actually a march to accelerate the current policies that have destroyed so many countries in the West. Japan, the United States, most of the countries in South America, particularly now Argentina, Venezuela, and most of Europe, particularly Greece, Spain, Portugal, are all in the same, Italy, all in the same situation. Spending that has run out of control. Deficits that, therefore, are out of control. Overtaxation, overregulation of business to try to fund the indulgences, the entitlements, and making business less productive, generating less revenue, creating greater deficits in the shadow of greater spending. They don't want change. They want an acceleration of the current policies. So this communist party, Podemos, has surged into the lead in recent opinion polls. And they, like the Communist Party that just won the Greek elections, say they want to write off Spain's debt if they win elections later this year. Now imagine, this is a country like Greece that is wholly dependent on foreign loans. It's like the Ukraine. Without the loans, they're bankrupt, total anarchy. And they've got themselves in this position of being in debt and being dependent on outside sources of capital because they destroyed their businesses, their economy, because they were hostile to business, just as Obama is now in the United States, and because they, to get elected to become popular, they promised the majority all sorts of entitlements from government. Your government will take care of you. Well, what that has done is created enormous debt. And so they borrowed the money so they could continue to be irresponsible. And now they want to be especially irresponsible, dishonest, and say, we don't want to pay back the debt that we borrowed. And that, this dishonest approach, this grotesquely self-indulgent approach, self-serving, dishonest, immoral approach is now leading in opinion polls. It's the most popular choice in Spain, as it was the most popular choice in Greece. And if they were to have elections now in Italy, it would be the most popular choice in Italy. It has been the most popular choice in the Ukraine. To be dishonest, to be self-indulgent. That is where most people have come. That is where the entire world is headed. Doesn't mean that everyone in every country is immoral, dishonest, and self-indulgent. It just means that the majority are. And the majority in these democracies, if we wish to call them that, are able to enforce their will over the minority who do not share those views, forcing them to capitulate. That is the attitude of the world. It's why we are so broken, not only in America, but internationally. There's no solution for that. Can't fix it. The majority is way too stupid, way too immoral, way too ignorant, way too self-indulgent, too damn lazy to fix it. And they're incapable of exercising good judgment. Throughout Europe, many of the countries in Asia and the Americas, the educational system has turned into an indoctrination system, and it has indoctrinated people in political correctness. And therefore, this idea of let's attack business, let's attack the private sector, and let's force those who are productive to cough over their money so that those of us who want what they have, who are envious of what they have, won't have to work. That mentality is sweeping the globe. This Communist Party in Spain says that that politicians should serve the people, not private interests, as if they do not recognize that the private sector is the entire engine that produces whatever is capable of serving the people. That the government can't serve the people. Business does. We'll be back.